Amen. If you would turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're continuing our series on the gifts of the Spirit. My subject tonight, the gift of prophecy. I want to talk to you about this gift, the gift of prophecy. Probably one of the most misunderstood gifts in the entire Bible. But I'm going to give you, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what Paul has to say, and keep this in the context of what he has to say about this particular gift. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant. Verse 7 says, "The manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Verse 8, it starts listing the gifts. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues." And look at this. "But all of these work it that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills." So the baptism in the Holy Ghost, with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, it is the gateway into these supernatural gifts. The baptism leads us into the manifested gifts. And tonight we're going to study the inspirational gifts, the gift of prophecy. If you look at your handout, there are three inspirational gifts: prophecy, gifts of unknown tongues, and gifts of the interpretation of tongues. So there are three inspirational gifts. We'll start with those tonight. My subject tonight, though, is the gift of prophecy. And I want us to understand this in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul expounds on it. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you for your presence here, for the manifest presence of God. Thank you for your healing, wonderful works to the children of men. Thank you, Lord, that you have seated us tonight together in heavenly places in Christ. Give us a listening ear. And the church said, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 6, the body ministry gifts there. Pastor Rick has been doing the body ministry gifts. This body ministry gift, Romans 12 and 6, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith." Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 10, I just read it to you. It talks about the gift of prophecy that's given. Now, according to Strong's exhaustive concordance, the word prophecy found in Romans 12 and 6 and found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is the same word. It is the word prophephia from prophecy, which means predict, prophesy, and so forth. Now, the word in 1 Corinthians 14:3, if you would put 1 Corinthians 14:3 up there, it says, "But he that prophesied speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." I want you to see it does three things. Now, that is a different word there from what Paul used in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. This is 1 Corinthians 14:3. It is prophayua. And in the context of the word prophayua, it means to foretell an event or to speak under divine inspiration. That's why some people call prophecy preaching. But preaching is a prepared message. Prophecy is a gift that comes to you through the Holy Ghost. It is a manifestation gift. 1 Corinthians 14:3, in the context we're using it in tonight, it does three things. It exhorts, it comforts, and it edifies. It does not foretell the future. Some people think that preaching is prophecy, but not according to the definition in Strong's Concordance. And that people, they can debate that all they want to, and that's fine with me. Now, I was at Falcon last Saturday, and that night I got a text, and I was supposed to speak on the generations, and that was my assignment. And so I had no time to prepare any notes. I sat there, and I just wrote some thoughts down, and when I stood up, I did not prophesy. I preached. I preached out of what I knew. I had something that I prepared just a little bit. It was spontaneous, but it was not the gift of prophecy that exhorts, that comforts, that edifies. But here's the thing. When you start preaching, you may shift over as a preacher into that gift to comfort, to edify, and exhort. But a preacher prepares his message. That's what he does. It's not spontaneous. And you get anointed, and we love the anointing. But in the context of 1 Corinthians 14 and 3, prophecy given there does only three things. It edifies, it comforts, and exhorts. Now, this is one of the most misunderstood gifts there is in the Bible. And the fivefold ministry, it taught in Ephesians 4 and 11, if you put Ephesians 4 and 11, I believe that's where it is. It talks about there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, preachers. That's the fivefold ministry. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, a prophet, he is a seer. A prophet, he sees the future. And if you look on your handout sheet, the prophet, he, being a seer, he speaks the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge or the discerning of spirits. That's an office. That's who he is. He sees things. But prophecy that we're talking about in 1 Corinthians 14 and 3, it has nothing to do with predicting the future. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:3. He that prophesies, speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, comfort, period. That's it. That's what it does. That's that gift. The prophet, he operates in the revelational gifts. And the apostle Paul, he sets the stage for this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when he said, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. See, it's not that the gifts are a mystery. The only thing about the gifts is they haven't been studied. It's like covenant. Our culture talks very little about the blood covenant. Yet I have given you five sermons on the blood covenant. And I'm probably going to do some more. Because if you understand 1 Corinthians 14 and 3 in this context, you will be able to operate in that and understand what you're doing. If you don't understand it in this context, then you will not understand how this particular gift operates. Preaching is preaching. A prophet, the office of prophet, he's a seer. He operates in the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. That's who he is. That's what he does. He sees the future. He sees things that others don't see. He understands things that they don't understand. Because he has a supernatural office that God has given him, and he operates in supernatural gifts where they're manifestation gifts. And people need to understand this. I've probably seen more things that are wrong in teachings on this area of prophecy out of 1 Corinthians 14 and 3 than I have any other area. People get the prophet mixed up. They get preaching mixed up with it. If you'll stick with this definition, I promise you, you will understand it. The first time this gift ever operated in my life, I had never seen it operate. I'm a brand new Christian. And I was in church, and there were three preachers on the platform. And I thought, well, you know, the Lord spoke to me to speak to the people. I said, Lord, I can't speak to your people. There are three preachers up there on that platform right now. And the Lord kept speaking to me. Finally, Eugene Powers, who was the pastor at the time, he's gone on to be with the Lord. He said, I cannot close this service because somebody is not obeying the Lord. It felt like he stuck a dagger through my heart. And the Lord said, it's you. And I got up. I said, it's me, Brother Powers. I said, the Lord has spoken to me to speak to your church. And he said, well, come on up and speak. I said, I know that three preachers on the platform, everything's supposed to be done decently in order. He said, Brother Nelson, come on up and speak to the people. So I went up there. I spoke three words out of my brain. The rest of it was like I was speaking in tongues. It flowed up out of me like a river. And when I finished, I went and sat down, and I got home, and I said, God, it's the craziest thing I've ever done in my life. That's the craziest thing I've ever done. And Teresa's sister had given me a book by Dr. Lester Sumrall on the gifts of the Spirit, the nine manifestation gifts. And I opened that book up, and when I opened it up, it opened to 1 Corinthians 14:3. It said, he that prophesied, put it up again, brother, he that prophesied, speak unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. I had a man tell me one time, a good Christian brother of mine, he said, friend of mine. He said, I did the craziest thing. He said, God spoke to me and I went up in his church. He said, I've never seen anything like that in my life. I said, brother, let me explain it to you. It's 1 Corinthians 14:3. I said, it happened to me. I said, it's a gift of the Spirit. Now, we're going to look at the three inspirational gifts, being the gift of prophecy, the gift of unknown tongues, and the gift of interpretation of those tongues. When you have tongues with interpretation, it is this parallel of the gift of prophecy. It comforts, it edifies, it exhorts. And when you understand it in this context, when the Holy Ghost wants to operate that gift through you, you will understand that it's Him. It's nothing you plan. It's nothing you wanted to do. It's spontaneous. It is a manifestation gift of the Holy Ghost. And I hope that helps you understand that some in its context. God has power to do anything. And we're studying about the power of God revealed through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We are learning that words are power. Let me say that again. Words of power. Look at John 1:1. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Bible goes on to say the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Who was this Word? It's Jesus. John said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus spoke the worlds into existence. That's the power of a word. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. So the word spoken there is Jesus. Now, a word is an offspring of a thought. A thought is a hidden thing that is revealed by a word. And that's why our words are so important. Your words can crush someone. Your words can heal someone. Your words can make someone sad, or your words can make someone glad. And Jesus is the Word, and He's the revelation of God. So He's the offspring of the Father, and a word is an offspring of a thought. See, if we want to know what you're thinking, we have to listen to your words. Amen? People said, I know what you're thinking. I say, no, you don't. You can't read my mind. You might be reading my face, but you cannot read my mind. You don't have the ability to do that. If you want to know what God is thinking, you got to listen to Jesus because He's the eternal Word. And if you'll take your Bible, you know, people said, I wish God would talk to me. Read your Bible. I promise you He will talk to you. And then the Holy Ghost, the great teacher, He will come and teach you what these words mean. So words are very powerful. We're studying prophecy, which happens to be about words, and words are power. They are vocal and inspirational gifts. There are three of them, and I just mentioned them. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Words have great power, and our words set the atmosphere for the stage that we live in life. It sets the stage. I could go home from work after a hard day, and my wife's been there with the children, and the supper's not made. The house is in a mess. Kids are screaming, and I got two choices. I'm hungry. I've worked all day. I mean, I've had my problems, and I come home and see she's had hers. I got two things I can do. I can take my words, and I can create chaos in my home, or I can take my words, and I can create a beautiful atmosphere. I can say, sweetheart, where in the world is my supper? I promise you, I will not be on the love boat tonight. But if I go home and I say, sweetheart, I see you've had a hard day. Let me help you with these kids. Let's get things in order and let's go out to eat. I'm going to be on the love boat. So words have power and you create the atmosphere in which you live. Now look at Proverbs 16:24, just to show you. We're talking about words that edify, that comfort, that exhort. We're talking about this gift called prophecy. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. That's powerful, isn't it? Listen to this from Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. You can wound somebody with your words. You can crush them. or you can decide, I'm going to ask God to help me, to give me something spontaneous to say that I can edify, exhort, or bring some comfort. And if you walk with that type of attitude, pleasant words, God's gift will operate through you. Many times we're talking to people and we don't realize that this gift is in operation. 1 Corinthians 14:3. It doesn't have to operate in the body we call the church. It can operate in individuals in the church. Like you could go up to someone that's going through a great struggle and just say, I'm praying for you, and talk to them a few minutes, and all of a sudden, words of exhortation, words of comfort, and words that build up, edification, they'll start flowing out of you because you have God in you, and words have great power. And the gift of prophecy, it involves the human will, and you've got to want the gifts. You've got to want to operate in them. It involves human faith. You must say, yes, Lord, I am willing for this gift to function in my life. Had I not been willing to go up with three preachers on the platform, I mean, I'm brand new. Three preachers on the platform. I'm a new Christian. Had I not been willing to obey God, and I would never have come to the knowledge that I have of the gift of prophecy. When I saw what Dr. Lester Sumrall had put in 1 Corinthians 14:3, and I just had that experience, it exploded inside of me. I didn't need anybody to explain a whole lot more to me about this gift because I had moved in an area of God that I had never seen anyone move in before. I moved into a new dimension in my walk with the Lord. And that's what I want for you. Hallelujah. And words that we speak to people, sometimes, you know, God gives us words of comfort and edification to speak to people just to bless them, that we don't think them up. They just come from the Holy Spirit. And this gift is functioning many times when we don't even know it. The gift of prophecy flows from you, but it's not a part of your mind. Let me say that again. The gift of prophecy flows from you. It is not a part of your mind. It is an expression of divine words that flow forth from your spirit. They come out of the spirit, the hidden man of the heart, the inner man, the innermost part of our being where God resides. God is a spirit. Where does God reside? In our spirit. What was born again? Our spirit. And if you're going to flow in the anointing of the spirit and have supernatural manifestations, that your words just carry such power and such anointing, you'll have to understand the difference between the gifts and just preaching. Preaching is wonderful. Preaching is, I prepare, I love it. I spend hours doing it. And I'm praying and just communing with God and having a wonderful time, just the Lord and I. And like we had some people having here tonight, just them and the Lord, just having a great time. Hallelujah. That's the spontaneity of the Spirit. We could never come in here and do that again. That was a manifestation of God's glory. And that's how these gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 work. They are manifestations for a moment in time. And it was for all of us. I feel so elevated in my spirit. I feel like, woo, glory to God. You know, don't we wish we could do that every time? But it's not like that every time. It's a manifestation of the presence of God. It is an expression of God's spirit flowing out to us. Now, that chart there, the gifts of inspiration are different from the gifts of revelation and the gifts of power, if you look on that. We've studied the revelational gifts. We've studied the power gifts. And now we're moving in very strongly on these inspirational gifts. In the gift of prophecy, we find it is greater than tongues. That's what people that are not baptized in the Holy Ghost like to say. Prophecy is greater than tongues. It's greater than tongues, except tongues be interpreted. Then tongues with interpretation equal prophecy. It's the two sister gifts that make up one gift. Tongue, unknown tongues and interpretation make up the gift of prophecy. Paul said, I wish you all spake in tongues, but that you prophesy that others may receive edification. If you speak in an unknown tongue, you edify yourself. But if as interpretation, you edify the body. And when you start seeing 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 14 in that 14 in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in that context, it will help you to understand. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 5. Paul said, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues except. Now, this is not a slam on the Baptists, but my Baptist brethren tell me this all the time, that tongues are greater. Prophets is greater than tongues. I said, well, that's an exception. Don't penknife the Bible. And Pentecostals don't need to do that either. Greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except to interpret that the church may receive edifying. That's what I just told you. Now, that's a scripture for it, okay? This gift is entirely supernatural, the gift of prophecy. It is in known tongues. If I were in Germany and this gift operated, if I were German, I would speak in German. If I were Russian, I'd speak in Russian. If I was Spanish, I'd speak in Spanish. It is a gift to edify, exhort, and comfort in a known language. Tongues with interpretation is unknown tongues, and somebody has to interpret it that the church may receive edifying, because they wouldn't know what was said if there was no interpretation. So this gift is entirely supernatural in a known tongue. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7 calls it a manifestation of the Spirit. That's why I keep going back to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, they are the manifestation gifts, the supernatural surprises of God. 1 Corinthians 14 and 3 says, prophecy is speaking unto men. So we're not speaking into the air when we prophesy, edify, exhort, or comfort. We are speaking to men. It is not preaching where you think something up with your mind and deliver it with your mind and hope that you anoint it. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. It is spontaneous. It is supernatural speaking forth under the anointing of God, words that you have not planned to say, and they just flow forth out of your spirit. And the person that hears it, God has set them up for you to bless them. It may be a church that needs a word of comfort. When that gift operated through me, I spoke words and I watched that church over the years move into that dimension. I exhorted them, I comforted them in a hard time and edified them. And I looked back over what the Lord has done and what had happened in that particular church, and God moved in a great way. The gifts are wonderful. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 3 again. But he that prophesied, speaking unto men, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Almost every time you touch something about the gifts, there are three of them. That means that the gifts have three purposes. This gift has three purposes: to edify, to exhort, to holiness or purity, and finally, to comfort. If you look at that handout, there are nine manifestation gifts and three categories. I said there are threes. You know, if you look at the universe, it's like that: time, present, past, future, water, a vapor, a solid, a liquid. The whole universe is set up in threes. And every time you touch anything about the gifts, there are three of them. That means that God has a purpose and an order and a structure. The gift of prophecy has nothing to do with foretelling of the future. That's a prophet. He's a seer. We went over the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom is a foretelling of the prophetic future. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 3 again. He that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. See, God limits this gift to three areas, and none of them have anything to do about telling the future. Now, the word of wisdom is one of the revelational gifts. It has something to do with the foretelling of the future. Now, a prophet, he is an individual who has a ministry gift. All prophets have the gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. That's where they function. That is a ministry gift that is given to them. It's just who they are. They see the future. That's what a prophet does. They see things that exist that no one else can know, but God speaks to his prophet, and lets him know. See, the gift of prophecy is an inspirational gift, and it does those three things. It edifies, it comforts, and exhorts. I keep coming back to that because nowhere in the Bible will you find another definition. If you do, please share it with me because I've been unable to find it on prophecy. But in this gift of prophecy, Paul said, I wish that you all may prophesy, and that one by one. So everybody in the church is not a prophet. We know that. But everybody in the church can prophesy, and that one by one. But you can't, if you're ignorant concerning the gift, you'd be afraid to. Knowledge replaces fear in so many areas of our life. And we need to know. Hallelujah. Sometimes the best way to understand something is to understand what it is not. Put 1 Corinthians 4 and Ephesians 4 and 11 up there, if you would. We find the prophet, Ephesians 4 and 11, is one of the ministry gifts given to the church. Now, I'm studying a book right now by T.L. Lowry. T.L. Lowry is a prophet. He's in heaven now. He was an apostle also. He was an apostle of great faith. And I've got a book, and the last time I read that book was in 2009. And I'm going through that book line by line, precept upon precept. It's on the gifts of healing. And one of the greatest books on the healing that God wants for his people that I've ever read. And I'm wondering why I haven't read. And I told my wife, I said, when I went to that school, I knew a lot of what was in that book. I said, now I'm reading that book again, and I know a lot more than I knew when I went to the school. And that's what teaching and study is all about. The Bible says, put 2 Timothy 2:15 up there, please. 2 Timothy 2:15. This is why Wednesday night is so important. This is why Sunday school is so important. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I am to study. I am to prepare. I am to come into this pulpit full of knowledge and understanding. You're to pray for me that God will give that to me. So, because I cannot preach anymore. And I can preach somebody else's sermon. But if I don't understand it, I can not touch your spirit. But if I can get something from somebody else and help me grow and then put that thing into my words and preach it, and I've got the anointing and the unction of the Spirit, then supernatural things begin to happen. And there's nothing wrong with studying others. You know, I've got a book of sermons by one man, and he was a Baptist preacher. And I read one sermon by him, and I asked a Sunday school teacher one day, I said, did you get all that stuff by yourself? He said, no, and he shared the book with me. I can't think of the man's name right now. It'll come to me. Herschel Ford. I bought every book that Herschel Ford ever wrote. And one of the things I loved about Herschel Ford was he put, none of these thoughts are original. I gleaned them from others in the body of the Christ. I send them forth. He wrote simple sermons. I send them forth to the body of Christ to bless them. And I love that way he wrote that. None of these thoughts are original with me. He was taught. He studied. He heard good preaching. And then God took all of that and built his spirit man in such a way that he could write simple sermons. And some of the good sermons I got some of those thoughts from him. Then I put sanctification and the baptism and the gifts of the Holy Ghost on his sermons and just took off with them. Hallelujah. He preached what he preached. But see, knowledge, we're to increase in knowledge. We're to increase in the anointing. And we're to grow, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. Hallelujah. See, a prophet is a person, and the gift of prophecy is a vocal gift and not a person. Acts 2:19, Philip the evangelist, he had four daughters that prophesied. They were not prophets. Philip the evangelist, he had four daughters. They prophesied, but they were not prophets. They had the ministry of edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church. But they were not prophets. They were people who prophesied. They did not tell the future. Let's look at what the Word says. It's speaking of Philip the evangelist, Acts 2 and 9. 21 and 9, I'm sorry. Acts 21 and 9. And the same man, talking about Philip the evangelist, had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. The Bible says they did prophesy, not that they were prophets. Now, let's drop down to Acts 21 and 10. I want you to see the difference right here in the Bible on the gift of prophecy and the prophet. Look at this. As they tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come in to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost." Now he's talking for God now. "Thus saith the Holy Ghost. So shall the Jews," he prophesied, "so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And of course, we know that Paul was arrested at Jerusalem. He was put in prison. He was delivered into the hands of the Romans, just as Agabus had prophesied. Agabus was a prophet. He was a seer who operated in the gift of the word of wisdom. He saw the future. Now, if you will look on that handout, I've given you definitions of all of the gifts, and these are not my words. These are gifts and definitions that are given by Dr. Lester Sumrall. Dr. Lester Sumrall wrote all of this out, and I was thankful to get his, but he always kept mentioning this man named Howard Carter. Now, I'm studying this stuff back in the 80s, and so I went to the Bible bookstore. I said, "Do you have a book, or can you get me a book anywhere by Howard Carter?" They said, "Oh, we got one that we can order for you, The Gifts of the Spirit by Howard Carter." I've got that book, and guess what? Lester Sumrall's definitions are exactly what Howard Carter gave to the body of Christ. He was in prison in World War II, Howard Carter was. And while he was there, the Holy Ghost gave him the understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. And Lester would go out and preach evangelistic sermons and get people saved. And Howard Carter would teach. And everybody would say, "Man, that Howard Carter, he's just something else. He's just something else." Lester's a young preacher, you know, young boy. He's thinking, "Well, what about me? I'm getting all these souls saved. What about me?" But what he didn't know was God was using Howard Carter to instill something deep, deep, deep down inside of Lester Sumrall. So when he come back from the evangelistic field, God said, "I'm putting a mandate on your life. I want you to win 1 million souls for me." And he did that through TV and radio, just blasting the gospel out by shortwave radio, and raised up preachers. I am a product of the school of Dr. Lester Sumrall. So when I get to heaven, I see Dr. Lester and all the souls that the Lord has given me in the ministry that he's given me, I will have to look over at Lester Sumrall, shake his hand, say, "Thank you so much. I have so much to thank him for." He probably has influenced my life more than any man of God that I know of. He is a great teacher, and if you get his material, I promise you, it's on time. Prophecy is not regular preaching. To preach means to proclaim or to announce the good news of the gospel. Preaching is something from your natural mind. It can be inspired. It can be anointed, as we call it. Many times as I preach, I flow from the gift of preaching into the gift of the Spirit prophecy. I know when it happens. You know when it happens. Brother Tom told me, he said, "You prophesied." He told me Saturday, said, "You, what was that prophecy you gave out there at Falcon?" And you know, I just heard the Lord speak, and I just got up and obeyed God. Boom! And that was. And that was a word given before that, and mine just added something to it. And that's the way the gifts, see, the gifts operate like that. They're spontaneous. They are from the Holy Ghost, the supernatural power of God. There are times that I flow in the office of the prophet, and I speak forth the future. I don't call myself a prophet, but I know when it happens, I feel a shift in the atmosphere. I feel a shift in my spirit. Woo! Glory. I feel some shifting going on. God is shifting some things and sifting some things too. Amen. I speak things that I have never learned. They just flow forth from my spirit as God's supernatural gifts into me. My wife will ask me, why are you listening to that sermon you preach? I said, because I said stuff that I never knew to say. And I want it. And I go back and get it. And I write it down in that notes. And guess what? The next time I preach that sermon, I got it. Woo! Hallelujah. I got 1,400 sermons plus. So I'm not looking a sermon. I'm looking a message from God that will edify and build up the body of Christ. Preaching is something from your natural mind, something you prepare, whether you have notes, whether you preach from an outline, or whether you just memorize your sermon. The reason I use notes is to keep me on track, because everybody has what I call a canon. Boom! Everybody has that little canon of scriptures. And most people, if you will listen to them, there is something that runs through the vein of their preaching, no matter what subject matter they're on. You're going to hear me preach on holiness. You're going to hear me preach on divine healing. You're going to hear me preach on the miracle working power of God. You're going to hear me preach on the gifts of the Spirit. Those things are a part of me. But if that's all I ever did, that's all you would ever get from me. I went through the Bible and I took my, I have an Excel spreadsheet of every sermon I've ever preached with the text on it. Every one I've ever done an outline or I've done a manuscript on. And I went through it one day to see, have I preached out of every book in the Bible? And I found out I was missing a few. I had some of the scriptures in there, but I said, I'm going to preach a sermon out of that, so I make sure I cover the whole Bible. You know, that's studying to show yourself approved, that you want something that's fresh and something's new. And then the Holy Ghost spoke to me several years ago. He said, why don't you take what I've already given you and pray over it and preach it again? And when I started doing that, all of a sudden, what I have acquired in knowledge since the time I did that sermon, I'm able to deliver a brand new sermon with it because what the Holy Ghost gives me. But it's a prepared message. It's something I'm preaching. It's not something where I'm prophesying. I'm teaching and preaching right now, something I have learned. Hallelujah. I'm not prophesying to you. Prophecy is of the mind of the Holy Ghost speaking to us, but it's not preaching. Now, people use that definition because if you look up that Greek word I looked up, it says it is to speak with inspiration. Well, it is with inspiration, but you can be inspired to put a sermon together, but you cannot spontaneously do what this gift does through a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. They're two different things. And so I like Lester Sumrall's definitions. And as I have studied it in the context of preaching and teaching and prophecy and my own experiences, I've seen that where other teachers have, they hit roadblocks and they cannot explain what they're saying. They fumble around trying to explain it, taking the definition of 1 Corinthians 14:3, and then taking the outfit of the prophet, and then taking the fivefold ministry, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, preachers, then I begin to see a complete picture. And that's what I want you to do. And the whole purpose for this, if you look at 1 Corinthians 14:3, I want you to feel freedom at times. When you are talking to someone or when you are given the chance by the Holy Ghost and you feel an unction to tell them that. Prophecy is not criticism. A lot of people get up and say, thus saith the Lord, and run you down like a dog. That is not the Holy Ghost. He edifies, he comforts, and he exhorts. God is a good God. And he doesn't put anybody in the ministry of criticism. He put us to comfort, exhort, and edify. That's what the Spirit does. And that's how you will know whether it's someone's human spirit when they're running you down or whether it's the Holy Spirit when they're edifying you, building you up, or bringing you comfort or word. Pastor Ricky. I tell you, this is an exciting subject to me because it has meant so much in my own life. And, you know, the Bible goes on to talk about if anything is revealed to one, let another one hold his peace. And you may all prophesy one by one, and you all may learn, and you all may be comforted. And says the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet, and says God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So God is a God of order. And people say, well, I just couldn't help myself. I just had to speak in tongues. Yes, you can. You don't have to get up and prophesy. And if it's not the time to do it, you don't need to do it. You need to understand the flow of the Spirit. And when I always stop my preaching if that's a message that I feel like is from the Holy Ghost. Sometimes people are speaking in tongues and they're just edifying themselves. It's not a message for the church. And if you're in a pastoral position or a leadership position, you have to discern the difference. And we're all learning. None of us have all the answers. But let us flow together in love. Let us love one another. Faith worketh by love. And God gave me this recently. God is love. And if you don't understand the love of God for you, you can never have the faith to appropriate the promises of God. Because faith worketh by love. Where does faith come from? From hearing the word of God. How do you build yourself up in your most holy faith? Praying in the Holy Ghost, the supernatural manifestations of the Spirit. But faith worketh by love. And I used to think that that meant that I've got to love you for my faith to work. Well, that's part of it. But I've got to understand the love of God. And if I understand the love of God, my faith in the promises of God is accelerated exponentially. And now I can reach out into the area of the unknown and I can pull back from the spirit world. Great, great things from God into the natural world. Let us stand. Pastor Ricky.
You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship. Your holy name, you deserve the glory and the honor.
We love you, Lord.
We lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.